house of the Lord today. How many of you remember your childhood? Whether it be a short time ago or a longer time ago, do you really remember your childhood? Do you remember what it was like to be a child? No bills. Hallelujah. It was like heaven, really. I mean, somebody else was taking care of you. All your needs were taken care of to some extent. Not all your wants. You're just kind of happy-go-lucky, free, kind of, sort of, with a few rules here and there. As long as you abide by those rules, everything was wonderful. And you had parents, hopefully, that loved you and took care of you. Not everybody has that. But I have highlights in my mind of being a child. It's funny when you talk to AJ, everything in his life, in his memory, happened at the age of 4. I don't know why, but when he's telling you a story about something from his younger days, it happened when he was 4. So he had a really productive year that year. He traveled the world, learned everything that there ever was to learn as a child at the age of 4. And I have highlights in my mind. I don't remember everything. And I don't know if I fully remember all of the feelings and the emotions that went with being a child. Now, I was lucky enough to have 2 parents. And an extended family, grandparents, who were in church. My parents were in church, and was lucky enough to grow up in the house of God. Not everybody has that opportunity. Not everybody has that privilege. I thank God for that today. Our new lesson plans are going to be talking about children of the Bible. And I don't want this to be just simple, and the lesson today is far from simple. The title is God Loves Children. But I hope that today we get a burden once again for our kids, for our children. Help us to remember what it was like growing up in church or growing up outside of church, growing up sometimes in broken homes, And family situations that weren't the best. Help us to remember that the next time we see a child. And help us to love them like Jesus loves them. Amen. Luke 18, 15 through 17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Quiver full. Now, I think I have one big arrow. Because at times I feel like my quiver is full. I've only got one son. But I am happy that I have a son. Amen? Anybody not happy they have children? Okay, we'll wait till after the lesson, and then we'll pray, and then you can answer that question. Hallelujah. Luke 2, verse 46, 52. Now, this is Jesus, a young, I don't even know if you'd want to call him a young man at this point. He was still a child. Found doing the work of the Father in the temple. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, his child, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Ever been astonished by the response you get from a child? They won't know anything about this. Well, maybe they do. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. As a child, he was about the Father's business. And our focus verse, again, is Luke 18, 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Our focus thought, Christians should follow Jesus' example to accept, love, and nurture children. Do we need to be taught to love our children? Do we? Titus 2:4. Paul wrote to Titus and exhorted the church to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Now, we understand, especially the men, understand that young wives have to learn how to love their husbands because we know husbands are hard to love at times. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. We are. Especially when we first get married, we have... I wanted the pots here. She wanted the pots there. She said, stay out of my kitchen. I was hard to love when it came to organizing the kitchen. She had to learn how to love where I wanted the pots. Amen. Eventually, I just got out of there. Amen. Leave the pots alone. Those pots are where the food goes, and if she doesn't put any food in the pots, I don't get fed. So leave it alone. But she had to learn how to love me. And sometimes we have to learn how to love our children. Not all of us had the greatest examples in life. And we must learn and be willing to learn how to love our children. Sometimes children are unlovable, or what we think is unlovable. What do you do when your 13-year-old tells you to shut up? Impulse reaction. Normally involves the back of a hand or a very stern pulling out of the belt. Snap it a few times and get them to their room. show them how much you love them. This is going to hurt you or hurt me more than it hurts you. Have you ever heard that? I never believed that, but this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. What do you do when your first grader breaks your favorite piece of china? You're going to love them? Some parents know what it feels like to walk the floor all night with a crying infant. Do you still love them? Are you in awe and shock when your 16-year-old new driver wrecks the brand new car? Do you love them? When a single 17-year-old girl says, "Daddy, I'm pregnant," do you love them? When the high school boy comes home and says, "Mama, I think I'm going to be a dad," do you love them? Every parent learns that sometimes children put their love to the test. Children live in a dangerous world. We temper these dangers with seatbelts, car seats, bicycle helmets, knee pads, warning labels, bubble wrap, whatever it takes to keep our children safe, or what we think is safe. We live in a safety-conscious culture. My work is over-the-top safety culture. It's so ingrained in you to throw a harness on if you're going to be on a ladder 6 feet in the air. 6 feet. That's the magic number, 6 feet. Or to put on your safety glasses when you walk out of the quarters, or put your hard hat on, or make sure you have good safety-toed shoes on when you go outside. Hearing protection, all of these things. We do this to keep ourselves safe because we live in a safety culture. My uncle was in the artillery, has hearing aids in both ears because they didn't know what hearing protection was in the artillery back in the day. But today, everything is about safety, and we do everything we possibly can to keep our children safe. And it's advertised, it's part of our culture. Yet, in a more sinister way, our society is more dangerous than ever. Social and spiritual predators abound. Humanism, atheism, pornography, violent movies, sensual music, homosexuality, drugs, alcohol, poor parenting, divorce, corrupt schools, and many other dangers lurk about. Where's our focus today? We'll put a bicycle helmet on our child and not protect them from the internet. Just as love motivates us to fasten an infant in a car seat, love will also motivate parents to protect their children from spiritual predators. Love is a decision. It is not based on emotions or feelings. We choose to love our children at all times because they are God's children and He loves them unconditionally. Hallelujah. Just like He loves you unconditionally, He loves children unconditionally. We weep for our children. We live in a selfish, twisted world that destroys children, destroys the innocence of children. Selfish people hurt kids. Abortion destroys almost 4,000 children every day. Every day. Selfish people hurt kids. The first transparency is Luke 23:28. if we have it. Luke 23:28. Jesus said, "Weep not for me, but weep for your children." God knows the condition of this world. God knows what each of us had to go through as children, the things that we were exposed to as a child, when we should have been enjoying life in an innocent state. Some of us were exposed to things that nobody should ever be exposed to. Weep for your children. Child murder is not new. Both Pharaoh and Herod murdered infants. The pagans of Canaan murdered their children to please their god. Carnage and waste of human life should infuriate us. It's never okay. The saying, "What's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me," doesn't apply when it's a life. Well, you believe that, and I believe this, and you know, I think I'm right, and you think you're right. No, it's a life. It's a life. It should infuriate us to waste a human life. Life is created by God. And by us destroying it, it should infuriate us. Weep not for me, but for your children. Divorce consumes more children than anyone wants to admit. The family, the fabric of society. God ordained husband and wife. The family is being destroyed in our society. Our children, many of them have no idea what it is to have a mother and a father in a home. And that's sad. Weep for your children. With only 1/4 of fathers paying child support in a single home, a single parent suffers financially. But that's only a small portion of the hurt that split homes suffer. There is no easy divorce. Well, we just unreconcilable differences destroys the home and puts hurt on children. Amen. It puts children into situations that they should never have to see, never have to deal with. Children should not have to deal with adult decisions and adult thoughts and adult. They shouldn't have to do that. Now all of a sudden, the boy is now the man of the home. At age 8. Weep for your children. Consistently, you will get the same results. It may be oh God, help us today. Our children will suffer the same fates in each divorce, in each split home. There is no special cases when it comes to this. They're all going to suffer. The husband suffers, the wife suffers. The children suffer. That's a given. Consequently, many young men and women fail to embrace life's responsibilities because they don't have the example of keeping life's responsibilities. And we see kids today, and we talk about it at work all the time. We get crews that'll come out to do work. And very rarely does somebody come to work that wants to work. They want to get the paycheck, but not do the work that's necessary to complete the job correctly. When I first got out there, it was do you have a square mop or a round mop? Because I was a mopper. And now I'm a mopperator, which is about the same. You're always aroused about. And a round mop goes around things, and a square mop gets in the corners and cleans under things. I didn't know that. Now I do. So it's more than just mopping the floor, but clean the corners, clean everything out, organize the room, make the room look good. You know, when I saw we have to mop on Saturday, okay. Streaks and all. No, that's not the job. That's not excellence. That's not the responsibility that was given to me. The responsibility that was given to me was clean the room. Do it right. Do it with all of your heart and your might, strength. And we don't see that at all. There'll be mid-20s, mid-30s, mid-40s sometimes come to work. And we had a nasty, nasty job the last week out, cleaning mud and little wiffle balls and with a bucket and handing it out through. It was hot, it was wet, it was muddy, it was nasty. And we ended up sending the crew home and did it ourselves because we couldn't get anybody to work. Embracing life's responsibilities. Sometimes you just got to get in there and get wet and get dirty and nasty and do the job. I'm going to bring this recording to work. And they'll say, "You're preaching to the choir." So, illegal activities destroy the innocence of millions of children. You believe that parents, there are parents out there that actually teach their children to shoplift. They provide alcohol and tobacco to underage children, minors. Criminals are arriving younger and younger at juvenile hall. Not only do some children learn to do wrong, many develop the habit of self-justification until any crime can seem justified in their eyes. We must weep for our children. Perversion rips away children's privacy. Predators on the internet. Predators in the school. Children, predators of other children. Teachers, predators of the children. Many children count themselves lucky to arrive at adulthood without being molested. In a world where the female figure serves as marketing tools, our poor children have got a warped sense of reality if that's all they see. Rude people destroy children's hopes and dreams. Did you know that? crude and hateful people tear the life out of youths full of expectancy and potential. Often impatient parents snuff out the creativity of a child by shouting about the dirt on the patio rather than complimenting about the mud sculpture. It's true. There are many times that we've just cleaned something or you just worked on something and all of a sudden there'll be a project or something was done and a look at my new Lego I just built. Yes, but you destroyed the kitchen in the process. And we don't see the new Lego that was built. We see all the work that's going to take to clean the kitchen back up. And we snuff out the creativity of a child because we are rude, crude, and hateful. Help us today. Help us today to look beyond just the clutter and the nonsense and actually encourage our children to love our children. Love them enough to see their creativity and to encourage that creativity. Hunger consumes children. 1 billion of the world's population is going to bed hungry. 1 billion. And almost another billion struggle to survive without the needed nutrients to sustain life. We must weep for the hungry children. Abusiveness warps children's perspectives on reality, whether it's physical, verbal, or sexual abuse, or just neglect. Have you ever seen a neglected child? Just wanting, begging, pleading for someone to love them? We must weep for the children who are abused. Violence shapes the lifestyle of too many children. Children growing up in homes with fighting parents and abusive adults make our children defensive. Everything is defensive. I feel like I've got to defend myself on every front because everybody is attacking me. Bitterness becomes anger, and anger turns into hatred. We must weep for our children. Our children need to hear a message of hope. A message of hope. Entertainment whittles away the imagination of many children. Spellbound in front of glowing screens, kids text, surf, and play games for hours. Amen, Jordan? Hours. Hours. We just started something here a little while ago, and that is fasting electronics, not electronics necessarily, because I need my iPad here this morning, but entertainment and video games on Sundays. Not a bad practice at all. This morning, why am I fasting, Dad? I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, is it doing any good? Yes. Yes, it is, because that question proves it right there. We're hitting a nerve. It's working. It's working. But entertainment whittles away at the imagination of many children. One day they will wake up and realize that the world does not operate like a video game. The things that they learned, I mean, I've never seen fingers and thumbs move as fast as my son. Like, what are you doing? I'm killing the guy. Like, what in the world? You're going to break something. Well, that's the only way you can do it. Unless he's going to go into data entry. I don't know how that skill can relate into the real world. He'd be an amazing data enterer. But one day, our kids are going to get a rude awakening about what the real world is and what real work is and how to put food on your table and sustain life. And they're not going to learn it from a video game. Incomplete reasoning skills, deficient social ability, and reclusive tendencies overpower young men and women who could have used their mental powers for the Lord's kingdom. We weep today for those who lose a major portion of childhood to Hollywood morals and Silicon Valley upgrades. God desires for our children to enjoy life. I remember some wonderful times as a kid. We didn't have video games per se. We had one or two that were really, really boring to today's standards. A little football game where you move a little red dot up and down and then push it really fast and try to get a touchdown. It was really, really horrible. It wasn't even graphics. It was little lights. And so most of the time we didn't want to play it anyway. But we had a river at the end of the road. We had a brook at the end of our yard. And we'd either go fishing at the end of the yard or go down and get in an inner tube and float down the river to the ocean, and there's clam beds, and I mean, build forts in the woods, all that kind of stuff. You remember that? Good times as a child. I enjoyed life as a child. BB gun wars, yes. We wore hockey gear, so it's okay. No, it's never okay to have BB gun wars. Get a paint gun. Okay, and all of our safety culture is coming out right now. Everybody's like, no, don't tell our children to do that. I survived. I survived without a seatbelt until I was probably 10. Right? My parents survived in the back of an old car that didn't even have seatbelts. Right? But we are to enjoy life as children. Right? We can enjoy life as adults. And most of us do, but God wants our children to enjoy life. Jesus cared about the children. Jesus cared about the children. Jesus was not an adults-only evangelist. He didn't just come, shout and scream and spit, and hoping that adults would receive him. Jesus included everyone. Even though his adults, or the adults around him, his disciples, would shoo them away. Leave him alone, he's a busy guy. Jesus said, bid them come. I'll take this little guy right here, put him right on my knee. This little one needs to be loved. Matthew 18, 3 through 4, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. He wasn't just speaking of a child. He had just taken a child and placed a child on his knee. Showing that child love and then used that child as an example to the adults of how you're to enter into the kingdom. Jesus saw them as people right now. I've heard for years preachers tell the young people, the church of the future. The children in our Sunday schools, they're the church of the future. They're the church now. They are the church now. Our children can have powerful ministries in our church now. Our young people currently have powerful ministries in our church now. Amen? They are not the church of the future. They are the church of the present. Amen? Hallelujah. And we need to treat them as such. We need to invest our time and our effort into teaching them in Sunday school. Amen? Teaching them at youth service. Teaching them in Sunday school like this. Teaching them and being good examples to them and loving them and encouraging them. They are the church of today. God included children in His blessings. He promised the gift of the Holy Ghost to children. In Acts 2:39. No child should have to wait through their teen years, through a divorce, through a car wreck, to qualify to receive the Holy Ghost. The promise is for all who will accept it. Children are a gift from God. When the church recognizes the value of a child, we will accept our responsibility in training them in the ways of the Lord. Amen? They are not just children. If we look at them as just children, we will treat them as just children, and we will not pick up the mantle, pick up the responsibility, pick up the weight, the load of training them and teaching them in the ways of the Lord. We must look at our children as the church of today. How blessed the body of Christ will be when we treat every child as a gift from God and we give them back to Him, just as Hannah did with Samuel. Amen? In the book, The Blessings, or The Blessing, by John Trent and Gary Smalley, the authors outline 5 elements on how to convey a blessing to a child and treat him or her as a special gift. So here are 5 things that they laid out in this book. Number 1 was a meaningful touch. Every person needs a touch that conveys acceptance, love, and commitment. This is non-sexual. It's an affirming touch that often conveys as much as any words in letting people know how special they are. When I go back to Nova Scotia and I walk through the door, there's an usher that has been an usher there ever since I was 3 years old. And I know that he's going to smile, he's going to shake my hand, as I'm passing him by, he's going to pat me on the back. So good to have you. A meaningful touch. He wouldn't have to say a word. Shake my hand. Pat me on the back. He was one of the ones, when I was a kid, that would do the same thing, knowing that I was loved and accepted at that church. Thank the Lord for people that will give meaningful touch. A spoken blessing. Along with a meaningful touch, we speak a blessing of encouragement. We can say, "You look nice today. What a pretty dress." Little foofy shoes on the babies. That's Danica's little shoes. I saw them passing. They were just a big fluff, ball of fluff. But spoken blessings build them up. Your hair looks amazing today, man. You done something different? No, it's just shorter. Looks amazing. Looks like mine. Only less pokey. Attach high value on the one being blessed. High value. Our children are suffering from low self-esteem in this world that they are growing up in. Attach high value to our children. We have the power to communicate inestimable worth to the ones we love. This is not flattery. This is not just, we're not just trying to puff them up, but actually attaching high value. We're simply recognizing the special gifts that they are from the Lord. Picturing a special feature for the one that is being blessed. Not only do we recognize people for what they are now, but we also ask God to give us insight into how their gifts may lead them into the future. How can we help them? How can we help them achieve? And that's an active commitment is number 5, an active commitment to fulfill the blessing. How can I be involved in this child's life in order to help them fulfill the call that God has put on their life? How can I be there? How can I mentor? How can I teach? How can I help raise? How can I help encourage in order for that child to fulfill all that God has for them? Our actions impact children for life. Just like Brother Hawley, the usher. Brother Lewin, the usher. Two elders. Brother Lewin has gone on to be with the Lord. Brother Hawley is still there smiling away at the back door. Every service. Our actions impact children for life. Whether it is in a positive way or in a negative way, there are other people that I remember from my childhood that it took me a long time to get over because they were meanies. They didn't like children. And they went to my church. And I would run from them because if they cut me, they would spank me for whatever reason. I probably deserved it, but we had a church spanker, and they would go and catch all the bad children and spank them, give them a swat and say, go sit down in your chair or I'm going to go tell your father. I remember that too. Those actions impacted me. On many occasions, I was impacted. Our actions impact children for life. Help us have positive actions that impact our children for life. We don't want our children to grow up having disabilities and being crippled in their spiritual lives because of actions that we did. We want them to be healthy, to be nurtured and loved and grow because of our actions. We must always be aware how our choices affect the children in our lives. Transparency 2, very quickly. The actions of adults affect the children in their lives, but God stands ready to transform even the most broken person. We can't change a child's past. All we can do is affect their present and their future. And with God's help, God can transform that broken child into a whole child. Thank you, Lord. No matter what sins a person has been subjected to as a child, he or she can be free from them. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The church's responsibility to children the church's responsibility to children. That's you and I, right? That's the other children to the children. The church, the body of Christ. Our responsibility to the children. We must teach our children. We must encourage those who teach our children. When's the last time you thanked the Sunday school teacher for teaching truth to your child? I'm sure it will happen today. These are not lower class positions of ministry in our church. Not at all. Not even the littlest toddler, the itty bitty little guys. Very important that these teachers are investing in our children, teaching them the Word of God. The church's responsibility is to be an example, to raise up our children in truth. Amen? Transparency 3. This is part of children being actively involved in our church. Children are worshipers. They can worship. Their worship is just as accepted as our worship. Amen? They understand spiritual things. Sometimes they don't understand fasting. Right? But children can understand spiritual things. Children also can hear from God and speak for Him. Children can worship. Have you ever read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, "Thou hast perfected praise"? Thou hast perfected praise. When little believers worship, the enemy gets stopped in his tracks. God is not so complex that children cannot worship Him and lift Him up. His beauty in nature will cause them to praise, will cause them to praise, and they will lift Him up with their small words, their small vocabulary, their small bodies, their little bit of strength, but it lifts up the name of Jesus. It exalts Him just as much as our fancy prayer words and our wonderful dance moves that we have mastered over the years, which I don't have any that I've mastered. It means just as much. Children can understand. There is no age qualification level for a child to hear from God. I'm thankful that God spoke to Samuel when he was just a boy, and it was not ignored. It was not ignored. It could have very easily have been ignored, stifled, shut down. Samuel would not have turned out to be the man that he was going to be. Very easily. Be careful when a child speaks to you. Says, "I'm hearing from God." All right. What's he got to say? That's just in your head. Go back to bed. No. Listen. Be spiritual enough to understand that God can speak to children. And God can speak to you through your children. It's happened more than once in my life. God can speak to you through your children. Let's stand this morning. I'm done and I've run out of time completely. Children have a definite place in the kingdom of God. God has taught us by His Word, and Jesus exemplified it through His actions. As He loves children, so let us love them and make a place for them within the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's love our children today. Hallelujah. Let's thank our teachers today. Amen. Let's continue to raise our children. Look for those that are broken and hurting as children, knowing that we have a God today that can change that, transform that child in Jesus' name. You're dismissed in the wonderful name of the Lord, and I am done. Hallelujah.